Hello and salutations, my fellow people. So the past few days I've been researching on a new subject. I decided I really wanted to do and get into either people that have disappeared or have been kidnapped, which are usually children or adults, but I kind of wanted to pull my efforts into telling you about cases that may have been overlooked, or it may have been so long that no one really remembers. I've always had a weird fascination with disappearances or kidnappings, mainly because I was always deathly afraid of it. But because I don't know how people can go missing or be murdered or killed, and either nobody says anything or they are just forgotten. Like, if that, God forbid, if that happened to someone that I loved, I don't think I could live with the not knowing. And that's always been an issue for me. So today I'm going to focus on the Oakland County child murders. And I'm not talking Oakland as in the Bay Area, Oakland. I'm talking, excuse me, Oakland County, which is located in Michigan. So we're going to start on February 15th, 1976. And that's when the murder started. So February 15th, 1976 through March 16th, 1977. So there was four children victims that actually were being held captive before they were dumped and killed. To this day, forensic DNA has actually indirectly implicated two suspects, but one of them has died. So we're going to start off with the first, Mark Stebbins, 12. He did not return from the American Legion Hall on February 15th. His body was discovered 4 days later, wearing the same clothes he was last seen in, lying in a snowbank. Unfortunately, he had been strangled and sexually assaulted with a foreign object, which is the case in these murders. Rope marks were on his wrists and ankles. How do you just go missing and you wake up in the exact same clothing? So obviously this person that had committed these murders and kidnappings has held them in a place. So, then on December 22nd, 1976, 12-year-old Jill Robinson had gotten into an argument with her mom and decided to pack a bag. Run away, I guess. You know, remember all of us had did that at one point. We're like, we don't like living here. We're just going to pack a bag and we're going to go down the street and we're back in, half an hour. But unfortunately, the next day on December 23rd, her bike was discovered behind a store. And then 3 days later, her body was found on the side of the Interstate 50 or 75. Within actually full sight of the Troy Police Department, which is a suburb of Michigan. And an autopsy had determined that Jill had died from a shotgun blast to her face. And like Mark, the previous victim, she had been fully clothed in the clothing that she had worn when she had disappeared. Placed next to her was actually her backpack that she was last seen carrying. So we're going to flash forward to January 2nd, 1977. Christine, I'm sorry if I butcher her last name, McClick, was last seen around 3 p.m. She was headed to the nearby 7-Eleven to buy some magazines, and she was never seen. And 19 days later, she had been discovered by a mail carrier who was on his route. She too had been fully clothed, and the killer had folded her arms across her chest and had closed her eyes. Her body was left alongside a railroad in Franklin Village, and was actually left in view of several homes, which I find very odd. Nobody remembers hearing something or seeing something odd. But I get it. It's, you know, Michigan, cold. No one's going to keep their windows or be beside a window. But it's just very strange that nothing was seen or heard even. She also had been smothered. Then March 16th in 1977, 11-year-old Timothy King had left his home with 30 cents. Yes, you heard me right. 30 cents to buy candy. He had a skateboard tucked under his arm. He headed to the drugstore, and after making the purchase, he actually made it to the drugstore of the candy. He left the store, which I still find weird. He left through a back exit, which led to a parking lot, and had disappeared. Now, I don't know how it was back in that day, but I even remember back when I grew up, kids were not, they didn't let kids just kind of roam around and go through back entrances or exit through or even enter. So I kind of always found that a little weird. So he had disappeared. Tim's father actually got involved and appeared on TV, basically begging the kidnapper to not hurt his son, to let him go. Next thing you know, Tim's mother had made a statement again pleading with the kidnappers to release him, and she had even said that she hoped to see him again and that Tim, so she can serve Tim his favorite meal of KFC chicken. Unfortunately, on March 22nd, 1977, Tim's body was found in a ditch. He was fully clothed. His clothes had been actually cleaned and pressed, and his skateboard had actually been placed next to his body. An autopsy had later reported that Tim had been, again, sexually assaulted, just like with the other boy, and had been smothered. And it also revealed a very interesting thing, that Tim received a chicken before he was killed. He had eaten his favorite meal before he was murdered, which I've always found very creepy that this person that did take him was keeping up on it. And I don't know if he was just doing that because he was trying to see, you know, am I going to get caught? You know, what's going on? Or he's just one of those, you know, murderers that likes to follow the news and see if he can outsmart the police or if they know more than you know, they're leading on. So that always kind of struck me as strange. That always just struck me as strange. Actually, before Tim's body was found, a woman had come forward saying that the same night that the boy had went missing, she had seen Timothy actually talking to an older man in the parking lot behind the drugstore. She even described what he was wearing and his skateboard. She said she also got a look at the man that he was talking to. She said that he was driving a blue AMC Gremlin with white stripes on the side. They were actually able to composite a drawing of the older man. The sketch had been released to the public, but nothing ever came of it. By talking to the witness, though, that had seen the man that they believe had abducted Tim, she described him as a white male, dark complexion, age 25 to 35, shaggy hair, long sideburns. To me, I'm sorry, but I'm thinking automatically in my head, is she looking at friggin', God, what's his name from Scooby-Doo? But that's what it reminded me of. But because Tim had seemed so willing and kind of at ease, they maybe thought that the killer was possibly someone that he would have trusted, such as a police officer, a doctor, a fireman, a clergyman, you know, someone that does not scream, hey, you know, I'm out to hurt you. Unfortunately, the police had investigated everything that they could and just nothing was ever found, except for when, you know, years later, There was a letter that had been sent by Mr. Let's see, Mr. Allen is what he decided to call himself. And he had claimed that his roommate Frank was the Oakland County child killer. In the letter, Allen, the person that says his name is Allen, had described himself as guilt-ridden, remorse, scared, you know, on the brink of losing his mind. He had said he had been on the road, on many road trips looking for boys, but he said, and this is why I find this fishy, he said that he was never present with the roommate, Frank, when he abducted the children or had murdered him. Allen had also wrote that Frank had drove a Gremlin, which was the car that was, you know, cited by the witness, but he had junked it in Ohio and it was never seen. Allen said that Frank had killed the children while he was fighting, said that Frank had killed them because while he was fighting in Vietnam, he was very traumatized. And so he was taking revenge, he said, on rich people so they did not have to suffer, which I still find very, very odd. At least they have, and they've never released the name of who they basically have confirmed as one of the killers. So we do know that there were two, but I'm starting to think that there could have been more because back in this time frame, there was actually a lot of kidnappings, abductions of children, because if you actually watch a movie called Have You Seen Andy? One of the people that comes forward had been abducted and sold into basically child, you know, slavery and porn. It was just horrible. And if you can take this man for what he's actually saying, even though, I guess, after he was released from the police for multiple drug possessions and psychotic breakdowns, I mean, if you do believe this man's story, then there were a lot of people that were, you know, mayors, governors. It was almost like a Jeffrey Epstein type of thing is what this man was trying to describe. And from where this man had said that the hub of the location was actually not that far from Michigan. So it's not a far-fetched theory. And that's who I kind of think that maybe, even though this wasn't a killer thing, but maybe this person had ties to that and just went off the deep end. I mean, stranger things have happened, but I've decided that every week I'm going to try to bring you at least a new story about a kidnapping, unsolved murder, because you know what? These people that have gone missing, they have no voice, and I'm sure their families are super frustrated and super heartbroken, especially the ones that have been gone since the early 70s, late 70s, early 80s, even the 90s. There's just, from my research, there's so many that are just not solved and have never been. There's a lot of them that I found that I've never even heard of. And it breaks my heart to see that these kids and these families are never getting closure and they're being forgotten. No one should be forgotten like that. So until next time, just remember to appreciate yourselves and appreciate each other and don't take anything for granted.